You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We are constantly surrounded by the message that mom life is the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it can be hard and full of lots of showing up for others, the idea that being a mom means living a joyless life, a stale or shit show kind of life all the time, is something I am passionate about putting a stop to. My name is Ali Casaza, and I'm about to make your life so much lighter. You are listening to The Purpose Show. A quick note, because it is so important to me that I am able to authentically be myself and speak the way that I normally speak here on my podcast, not sugarcoat or be vanilla or wear a different mask when I'm talking to you guys here. You'll find the occasional curse word on my show. So if that bothers you, if it's not something you want your kids to hear, grab your headphones, girl. The Purpose Show podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other awesome shows like this one. I don't actually think that anyone is really ready for my newest program. Literally, I have the next official Ali Casaza program in my signature collection. It is called Now. Now is the anti-someday, anti-later, anti-should program for overwhelmed moms who want more. If you have ever found yourself caught in the cycle of thinking things like, I really need to break this habit. I really should be more like this. I wish I had already started. I'm so behind. I really want to change, you know, whatever habit or action. Why am I letting myself live this way? I could be better than this. If you want more for yourself and you want more for your family and you want to become the next version of yourself and you want to become her now, this program is for you. I'm not even going to say anymore. Run. Go to aligasaza.com/now. Read the info page. If this is pulling you forward, my love, go enroll. I love you so much. This was made for you. Go check out the page. I'm so excited to see who feels pulled towards this and enrolls. I am literally so freaking excited. We have done our first round of training. The feedback was amazing. Everybody was amazing. Everyone loved it. It is here. It is official. It is ready for you. AliCasaza.com/now. Hello, my beautiful friend. Welcome to the Purpose Show podcast. Today, I have a guest for you all. This is Jessie Iredia. Jessie is incredible. This conversation is very raw, very vulnerable on both of our parts. I'm really looking forward to you guys hearing this. Angry mom turned empowered mom, Jessie Iredia is a certified anger management coach who helps moms manage their anger and change their motherhood experience. Since 2017, Jessie has been the host of the Mom Empowered podcast, where she often shares her own journey of navigating postpartum rage, learning to manage her anger and anxiety, and her unique process for equipping moms to do the same. Jessie and her husband, Grant, are in the thick of parenthood with their three young daughters and reside in Atlanta, Georgia. Jessie's incredible. This conversation is incredible. Please enjoy the realness and the rawness. As always, that's what I'm always trying to bring here. I love you guys. Welcome, Jessie. Hi, Jessie. Welcome to The Purpose Show. And thank you so much for being willing to give us your time and your expertise.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I can't wait to speak to your audience.
Yeah, this is one of those conversations that I've just been really looking forward to having. And also behind the scenes, guys, Jessie and I had a time trying to sync up and get this interview to actually happen. And in my experience, I mean, I think I've been podcasting for like 5 years now, almost 7 years now. Whenever that happens, the conversation that comes from it is always super powerful and really hits, you know, a big chunk of my audience hard in the best way. So I fully believe that this conversation just really needs to happen.
Oh, yes. We're going to bring the dynamite. That's exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just start. We're going to be talking about some deep stuff. I have never had a conversation really anywhere near this topic. I've spoken a bit about my own experience with postpartum depression and how bad it was, but we've never really talked about anger and being triggered and experiencing postpartum rage and just how scary and real that could be. I would love if you could just start by sharing your own story
story and kind of how you got into speaking about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when I became a mom, I knew that anger was kind of, it was a pretty big struggle at the time. I especially saw it in my marriage, in my past relationships. But like a lot of women, I think I went into motherhood kind of imagining that this would be such a blissful, exciting time, that I would just be so in love with my new baby girl, that I wouldn't really have so many struggles, so to speak, with rage and control issues and perfectionism and all the things relating to it. I kind of just went into motherhood really imagining myself as being this super happy mom. And I very quickly found that this was not the case, and that not only was I still struggling with anger, but it also was to this new degree that I had never experienced before. At the time, I had never even heard of the word or the phrase postpartum rage, but I definitely had heard of postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, and none of that really felt like me per se. I wasn't feeling extremely low or depressed, and I also wasn't feeling these like intense, these intense fears or a lot of intrusive thoughts. But really what I was experiencing was this immense amount of pent-up rage that would come out in some kind of scary ways. And because it was so scary to me personally, as far as like, wow, like I've never seen myself go from a 0 to 100 in this kind of way. I would never expect that I'd be throwing dishes at the wall, you know, like just kind of doing all kinds of weird things that I never really seen. I kind of struggled alone. And
it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's super. And you feel so isolated because you don't know who to talk to. How do you bring this forward? So that honestly is why I'm so passionate about talking about these things, sharing my experience, but also just speaking to the experiences of a lot of different women, because I, you know, it is such a personal thing. You know, a lot of women struggle with anger, but it can come out in all different ways. It can, you know, everyone has their own specific triggers, but really just this conversation is meant to shed light on some of that and to kind of normalize that this does and will happen for some women, and that there's no need to have shame around it. It doesn't have to be this taboo thing. And actually there are solutions and there's help available for you. That really is why I'm so passionate about this.
I remember when I had Bella, and I was deep in PPD, and nobody knew. And I think everyone knew something was really wrong, but just didn't really know what and or how to handle it. And I remember feeding her peaches. She was like in the little bouncy seat on the dining table, and I was feeding her peaches, and my mom and Brian were there. And my mom just said something that like rubbed me the wrong way. And I like slammed the jar of peaches down, and it exploded up to the ceiling, like put peaches all over her ceiling. And I just lost it, like 0 to 100 immediately, and just started screaming at her, like, you think I can't do this? And you think I'm bad at it? Like everything just came out. And it was like several minutes of just me losing it, which is just not my personality at all. I'm actually pretty grounded and will just say, you know, if I have a problem with someone, like, it seems like you need to say something, like I'll just address it. But I just like volcanoed. And I remember walking to the back of the house to just go be alone in the room for a second and just sobbing. Like I felt like something had taken over my body, my mind, like my personality was gone. And I honestly, like I felt so much shame because I felt like a monster. It was horrible. And I kept, that was just one really bad instance. There was so many things like that. And I felt out of control of my own mind.
Yeah. And honestly, when you said, you know, I felt like a monster, that actually is a word that I hear a lot from women who are, you know, they're hearing my story and they're speaking to me. That is, not only do we feel like a monster, we feel unworthy as a mom, right? We feel unworthy maybe as a partner. Mm-hmm. And that shame and that self-loathing and self-judgment, it kind of just creates this cycle where we're already feeling low about ourselves, and then we, you know, that creates some anxiety, and then that anxiety comes out as, you know, these overreactions and this aggression, and then we create more shame for ourselves. And so, yeah, like this is a cycle that so many women are getting stuck in and they're finding themselves in. And I'm not at all surprised that like that is your first reaction, is to go to that guilt, because again, this isn't something that's regularly talked about, and it's scary. It's new, and we don't know what to think about this. We don't know how to interpret what's happening. And we definitely, you know, we could all use more language. Even just the phrase postpartum rage has been such a powerful phrase for women to stumble across because it finally puts language to what they're experiencing.
Yeah. And I think like this is one of the reasons that I was so excited to have this conversation with you on the show, because the way to stop this guilt and this shame is to normalize and shine a light on these issues, not to just accept that it's there and like, oh, I'm just raging now because I have postpartum rage, like, but to normalize that it happens. It's really common. PPD, PPA, you know, postpartum rage, all of these things, even just rage as a mom, like not even postpartum, just like way down the line, super postpartum, like when your kids are, you know, kids.
At any point in time.
Yeah. Like it's to normalize it, we have to speak about it. And the only reason this is not getting spoken about is because people are afraid of judgment. And that is why I get so pissed off when, I know, Jesse, we were speaking about this a little bit before we hit record, when things like just negative comments and opinions about life choices that someone is choosing to share, it pisses me off so bad because you're stopping people normalizing hard things. And that's why there's so much secret. So I really respect you for speaking about this and being so candid with your story. And it inspires me to do the same. Having said kind of a little bit of your story and what you've been seeing in women, can we speak about maybe like move away? Well, no, let's wrap up the postpartum part because I would like to get to like being triggered and dealing with just like anger and rage in motherhood in general. But for postpartum, what do you see is the solution? If someone is experiencing, you know, postpartum extreme emotions, rage or whatever, what kind of solutions do you guide them to?
Yeah, well, I think it helps to know, first of all, that there's a couple of different factors going on beneath the surface. There's typically a hormonal one, right? And I mean, especially when you're newly postpartum, your body is in these wild fluctuations, you know, going from being pregnant and you have some hormones are really high and some are very low. And then those kind of will flip flop for a time after you're no longer pregnant or, you know, or when you're breastfeeding or if you introduce weaning or, you know, there's so many different changes that our bodies go through. And that does have a really large, that does play a really large part in the way our mood shifts and the way that we may be experiencing anxiety. But there's also this mental piece, this piece where if we could only just have coping skills and if we had an understanding of how our thoughts were turning into emotions, how our self-talk was influencing our moods, like if we could just have that understanding, that's what I see being as a really powerful solution for women. Not to say that there isn't still that hormonal piece, right? Like there's still going to be something that, you know, maybe that needs to be addressed separately. And maybe things like a changing in diet or just more hormonal supporting supplements or more hormonal supporting lifestyle changes. Like that absolutely can take place. But I think, and especially with the work that I do specifically, really what's so powerful is just knowing that the more secure you can help yourself feel, whether that looks like you reframing your expectations or reframing your self-talk or just acknowledging and addressing certain anxious or intrusive thoughts that you notice are kind of coming up repeatedly for you. I think the more you can do that and just have tools to help you with that, you will notice that you do have more of a say over your emotional, over that temperature of, you know, I'm going from a 0 to 100. You kind of can, you have some sway over that more so than if you don't have any of those tools and you kind of just feel like it's just happening to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a couple of questions. In your experience, what is the actual cause of things like postpartum depression, anxiety, and rage?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. I think hormone shifting is a big one, but I honestly think it's just a lack of skills to manage anxiety. And really so much of anger and rage does come from a place of anxiety. It's coming from this feeling of fear or being out of control and the way that our brain interprets that to mean that it must now activate our fight or flight because something is wrong. We're in danger. There is a threat here. Mm-hmm. I think that it really is, it's all the ways that the different parts of our brain and our body are working in conjunction with one another. We definitely have, like, we have a very intelligent brain that does things without us fully realizing. It's pushing stress hormones through our body. It's dictating when we need to go into our fight or flight mode. And so much of the things that we experience that we think are just horrible things, like, oh my gosh, I just lectured my child for 5 straight minutes and it was just like this word vomiting and I said horrible things. We don't realize sometimes that that actually is a fight or flight behavior. It looks like it's very logical and rational in some way because we're using these very skillful, clever, cunning words and arguments. But again, like, it's coming from this place of fear. It's coming from this place of grasping for control again. And really, that's how our brains have been designed. It's designed to grasp for control. So I think that, you know, when you ask, like, well, where does postpartum rage come from? It comes from our brains not knowing how to feel in control and grasping for the only tool that it kind of feels like it has to get back that control. And it's to activate that fight. It's to guess into that mode of aggression. I think that's really what's going on here for all of us. That's what's happening.
And just even hearing that, not only does that make so much sense and connect so many dots for me personally, but it also, it shifts the energy to like empathy for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's sure. So helpful. Okay. So what about if you're in a place of this postpartum, you know, stage we've been talking about, and you are just like, no energy to even get help to deal with, like to do and to care about your imbalanced hormones. Like, you honestly could give a shit about the cause because you just don't even have it in you to like do anything about it.
Yeah. And I've been there. I'd say as a, you know, the apathy, the low energy, that definitely can be hormonal too, right? Like, that could be postpartum depression. And I totally get that. Here's what I would say as just like a starting point. Here's what I think could be helpful. Just getting more curious and just like whatever energy, whatever little bit that you have, just put it toward asking yourself a few thoughtful questions. Like, what might be going on here? What am I afraid of here? Why did this trigger me? Did this remind me of something? Was there a specific thought that I was thinking? Was there a story I was believing? And I love that you said, you know, like, just, you know, there's a growth of empathy that can happen here in this conversation. Just allowing yourself to get more curious and allow a little bit more empathy toward yourself. I think that that's going to unlock a few answers. Now, does that mean that, you know, if you realize, okay, well, I was triggered when my husband wasn't helping me put the baby down for bed because I felt like he didn't care and he wasn't supporting me. Like, does acknowledging that completely fix the problem? No, because then you kind of have to move on to a place of, well, what's a solution? What are my options? But even just, again, asking those thoughtful questions of like, what else could have happened here? Or what else could I try? What conversation needed to be had? Is there a boundary that needed to be set? Is there a way I can care for myself now in the aftermath? There's a whole bunch of different questions that we can grow accustomed to asking ourselves that's going to kind of paint the path of where we're needing to go. Even if you do have that limited energy, it's just opening up that questioning and that curiosity that I think can be so enlightening for women.
Yeah, I love that. And I think like when I was having postpartum depression, it was like sometimes even like what you're saying, I'm like, yes, that's what I need to do. But then it's like, I don't even, like, you don't even have the energy to mentally spin all those wheels. So I think like to add on to what you said, my advice with what Jesse just shared, you guys, would be to like not try to work it out. Like, don't exert mental energy. You're going to be thinking anyway. That's what's causing those emotions anyway. So like, take what she just said, write those things down on a post-it note, and put it by your bed or on your mirror, like, so you can be reminded, put it in your phone to just look at and like walk yourself through those mental steps, but do it from a place of just like calm and empathy for yourself, not like, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this so I can fix myself, because that's just like, that mental exertion is exhausting and you're already exhausted.
Yeah. And do it in a way that works for you. Like, I found, you know, when I was a new mom and I knew I had a whole slew of issues that were just coming to the surface, that I knew I needed to look at. I found that just going for a walk was helpful and just like letting my brain go where it wanted to go. But again, keeping in mind that I did want to find some sort of encouragement or empowerment or some sort of next step that I could take to just ease the load ever so slightly. I think that walks can be helpful for that, like hot bath, a shower, you know, like those middle of the night feedings where you're going to be up anyway and you're tired, but it's so easy to go to that place of helplessness in the middle of the night. And maybe like that's a point of time to be like, no, you know what? Earlier today, I remember that I did want to sit down and think about this a little bit more. And this is that time. This could be that perfect uninterrupted time, as tired as I might be. Maybe this is it. But I definitely hear what you're saying of like, it might even feel too overwhelming to go to that place. So take it however you need to. Just do it one step at a time. Maybe instead of trying to like problem solve every single day, just aim for like one 30-minute chunk a week. Of like, if I can just carve out this one 30-minute slot to sit down with a notebook, first of all, just acknowledge and affirm all that I'm experiencing, right? Because we're human and we don't need to just like shut down our emotions. Those are real. Those are valid. Let's acknowledge them and affirm them. But also to then, again, go back to that place of curiosity. Of like, what might I have been needing here? What could make this different? Or is there a different way I need to reframe this for myself? How did I influence my own perception of this situation, this trigger that I'm going to be presented with again very soon and I want to be prepared for? I think that that's, however you need to do it, that can be a great way to start.
Yeah, I love that. I would like to touch on just anger, specifically like what to do when you're triggered as a mom, when you're triggered by your kids as they get a little bit older. Could you just speak to, I'm imagining some of the tips may be the same, but I would love for you to just speak to that. If your kids are like, you know, I don't know, maybe like 3 to teenagers, like how do you deal with if anger is a go-to for you? What is your kind of recommendation for handling that well?
Yeah, I would say you are right in that like curiosity would still definitely help in those situations. Just kind of getting to that, you know, to the root of, okay, was I afraid of something here? Was there a worry in the back of my mind? Did I feel a sense of urgency that then kind of, you know, led me to this mode of fighting for control and lashing out? Was I in a rush, right? Like those are things that we can ask ourselves to just get a little bit more, just some more clarity in what was going on there. But I think too, just recognizing that a lot of the triggers that we experience as parents, there are practical things that could start to ease those experiences. Now, this isn't to say that we can just solve for every single trigger. For example, if one of your triggers is that your kid behaves a certain way, and that's maybe a part of the season of development they're in, or that's a part of their wiring, it doesn't matter what you say, try, or do, that might not be solvable, right? In this current moment, at least. That might be something that has to work itself out that you will need to experiment with. And so in that case, I would say, yes, the reframing and being willing to look at your own self-talk and see like, okay, is there a story that I'm telling myself about this behavior? Am I catastrophizing this? Am I making this seem bigger than it really is? Am I afraid of what might happen if this behavior were to continue? Does this feeling of out of control come because I don't feel like them doing this is respectful and I'm afraid of being disrespected, right? Like kind of, you know, that's a place for curiosity and reframing. But as far as triggers that are like, we're running late for school, we were trying to get ready for bed and the kids are jumping all over the place and they're not listening to me when I told them to put their PJs on. I asked my daughter to clean up her room and she walked in and she started and then she never even finished. Like those kinds of triggers where there are like little solutions or options there, I would say like that's the time to get creative and to maybe even sit down with a piece of paper. Again, like carve out just like 10 minutes, right? It doesn't even have to be a long time, but just sitting down and recognizing that there are always more options than what we see in the moment. And when we can take time outside of the moment to access our logical, more creative, problem-solving brain, the easier it's going to be for us to get into those, to utilize those options in the moment the next time versus to stay in that emotional, that out-of-control space. So I would say, you know, for example, if your daughter's not cleaning her room to the point, you know, that you're satisfied with, and this continues to be a recurring problem and it's becoming a trigger for you where you're walking in and you're just angry again, then that's a time to write down, you know, on a piece of paper, like, okay, what have I not tried? What have I tried? What could I try? Does she need a timer? Do I need a reward system? Do I need to be in the room with her and just like do my own thing, but just like have my presence be a part of this? Do I need to lower my expectation? Right. And again, that goes back to that reframing, but even that is a solution. That's
such a good point. Yeah. I feel like we don't visit that enough. Like, these are children.
Yes.
They're children.
Yeah.
And we forget.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the reason why we maybe do have high expectations of our kids is because we had high expectations put on us when we were kids. And a lot of us carry that into our own parenting experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, over the last couple of years, I've been seeing an energy healer. She's also a therapist, but she's been more on that side of things the last few years of her career. And we did a lot of work on in certain situations, my go-to would be to just like freak out and get super mad at the kids or whoever was involved. And a lot of the time it was my daughter. And I was like, I really want to get to the root of this. And long story short, it turns out I had pent up rage over not feeling like I was able to enjoy a certain age of my life because of like all the responsibility that was put on me, all the stress I was experiencing. I felt like I lost a little chunk of my upbringing. And that was the age that my daughter was at the time that this was happening. So she walked me through revisiting those like old childhood wounds and healing that. And literally like the rage just disappeared. It didn't happen in those situations anymore. So I think we also have to look at what's the root in us? What are we, what emotions are pent up in us that are leading to these actions?
Yeah. And that's so powerful to acknowledge that like, you don't realize what your brain is holding on to. And our brains really are like these super complex systems. And I know, you know, I use the word brain a lot, partly because I'm fascinated by it. You know, like I just like, I'd love to know, like, why is it doing what's doing? Why am I behaving the way I'm behaving? But I also like to talk about the brain a lot because there's more going on there than we usually see. And the more we can acknowledge that, the easier it is to have that empathy for ourselves, like what we mentioned earlier, like you just knowing that there's something going on here that has way more to do with my own experiences as a kid and my adolescence than even what Bella's doing right now. Like you just being able to see that probably allowed you to have more compassion for yourself as a parent, to know that it wasn't just that you're this horrible, strict, controlling mom, right? But really that you're a mom who's experienced hurt and has some fear and has some things to work out there. And as we all do, right? Like we all have things that we are needing to unpack now that we are parents and then we're in these situations.
Yeah, I fully believe that our kids are actually here partly to trigger us because the triggers show what needs healing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, becoming a mom really was a big impetus for me in going on my own journey of understanding my brain a little bit more, healing from, you know, past wounds and learning how to manage my anxiety and getting those coping skills. Because before then, again, anger was a struggle for me even before becoming a mom. But for some reason, it was really easy to brush that under the rug and to just believe that it would work itself out on its own. And it wasn't until I was a couple years into motherhood, which again, that's far too long, but a couple years in, that was when it became clear of like, this is the time to get serious. This is the time to figure out what's going on here and to learn the things that I just wasn't able to learn when I was younger, but I fully have a capacity to learn now. That's really what I want to empower moms to start seeing, that this is a season, this can be a season of healing and growth and learning, and not meant to like fix you, because it's not like we're broken, right? Like we're not these terribly messed up people, but just to help you have more emotional awareness and emotional wellness, these things that we hope can just happen automatically, but they just don't always.
Yeah, that's so good. And just really like being in a place of allowing allowing this to be a time of growth and learning. You're not supposed to come into it perfect. This is not a performance. It's a process and a journey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Progress over perfection always. Not just for us, but because our kids are going to need to learn that too.
Yeah.
We don't want to be raising people who, you know, we don't want to be raising kids who turn into adults who have these high standards and this high aversion to failure in the ways that we do, right? And so we have to normalize imperfection. We have to normalize the fact that this is progress and that we're always going to be growing and learning and needing to you know, learn from our mistakes even, that we'll always make them.
Yeah, I love that so much. Jesse, are you, where can people connect with you like daily? I know you're on Instagram. Is that where you would send people to kind of see your day-to-day and connect?
Yes, yes. I definitely would love, you know, for people to come check out what's going on Instagram. You know, I think like you, that's kind of the favorite place to hang out. And my handle is just at Jesse Heredia, or you can even find me by just typing in life coach for angry moms, because that exclusively is, you know, who I'm here for and what I'm doing.
I love that.
A great place to connect with me.
That's some good SEO, my friend.
Yes, it is.
Well, good job. Is. Amazing, Jesse. And we'll link to her website, guys, jessiheredia.com, and we'll link to your social as well in case people are on the website and just want to click over. Jesse, thank you again so, so much. This was a really, really good conversation. Friends, if you want to hear more from Jesse, you have questions about this, and you would like to hear a follow-up episode, please post and tag us. And just, you can even send either of us a DM and we'll just stay in touch. We text now since, you know, we had to reschedule 1,000 times. We can talk about a follow-up episode because I have a feeling that this is just, there's more to unpack. And we just really appreciate you, Jesse.
Oh yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Ali.
Friend, thank you so much for hanging out with me and letting me be a part of your day. It means so much to me. If you would like more like behind the scenes view into my life, this lifestyle, regular like life hacks, tips, and more content that's really gonna create lightness in your social media feed, follow me on Instagram at Ali_that's_me, or you can search Ali Casaza and it's the one with the blue check mark. If this episode or any episodes was helpful for you, please consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts. It is literally the lifeblood for a podcaster and it helps me so much. Thank you for tuning in. If you would like to learn more from me, how I can help you, how you can implement the things we talk about here on The Purpose Show, leaning more into making life simpler, better, and more abundant in the best ways, head to alicasaza.com. There are free downloads, online programs, and other resources to help you create the life you really want in a very deep dive style. I am always rooting for you, friend. I will see you next time. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show.